Welcome to Up to Date. I'm Steve Kraske. What's it like to be a caregiver, a truly giving caregiver? Deborah Schaus found out more than a decade ago when her mother contracted Alzheimer's disease and began a long goodbye that threatened to unravel a long marriage with her husband. But even when challenged by the loss of memory and identity, the relationship endured, and Deborah Schaus learned a whole lot about herself, the disease, and love itself. She'll join us in just a moment. Later on this hour, Kansas City, Missouri police officer Nicole Wright joins us for one more edition of 90 Mile View, and finally today, the 800-year-old poetry of Rumi. But first up today, Deborah Schaus's new book on her mother's battle with Alzheimer's. The book is Love in the Land of Dementia, Finding Hope in the Caregiver's Journey. Deborah Schaus's writing has appeared in the Washington Post, the Christian Science Monitor, Reader's Digest, and Newsweek. She writes a weekly column on love stories for the Kansas City Star. Deborah, so good to have you. Welcome back.
Thank you, Steve. I'm delighted to be here.
She's joined by her partner, Ron Zoglin. The couple is working to raise money for Alzheimer's research. And Ron, good to have you too. Good morning.
Thank you.
Well, this book is about your mother and father's journey, Deborah, but it's also a book about caregivers, you know, the folks who look after those afflicted with Alzheimer's and other types of diseases. To what extent are those folks too often overlooked these days?
Well, I think often caregivers overlook themselves in the journey of being so loving and focused on the person they are caring for. And that's a huge danger that certainly I found myself in. Ron has been in a similar situation with his father. You get absorbed. You're constantly thinking about how you can be there for the other person. And you really do forget to reach out for help for yourself and take care of yourself.
And the thinking being, if you don't take care of yourself, you're not going to be much good to the person you're trying to care for.
That is right, and that's easy to forget.
Well, what did you learn about the role of caregiver as you looked after your parents and as your mother particularly was dealing with Alzheimer's?
Steve, it was a really emotional and spiritual learning experience. I learned that there are so many gifts in the situation, even in a complicated disease like Alzheimer's. And I learned to really try to focus on the present and to meet my mother where she was at the moment and gradually to let go of my desire to have back my original mother and be thrilled with the mother I did have. And that was sort of my spiritual practice all the way through the journey.
You know, giving up your image of your original mother, to use your words, how tough was that for you?
It was really tough.
I can only imagine.
In the beginning, particularly, there was so much grieving I went through, which I think is a normal part of that process. And I really noticed with my dad, because he had a harder time giving up than I did. So I watched him constantly try to remind my mother of what they had just seen or jog her memory. And I saw it was really frustrating for both of them.
He wanted his wife back,
in a sense. He desperately wanted his wife back, and he was willing to do anything to get his wife back. At one time, he had read about magnets helping the mind, and he made my mom a hat that had a brim of magnets attached to it. Fortunately, she only wore it around the house.
It wasn't all that good looking.
I wasn't good looking at all.
Ron, what was it like for you sort of watching all this unfold in your own house and watching all this drama here?
Also difficult. And in a way, Steve, I feel actually pretty lucky about something since my dad got dementia a few years after Deborah's mother. And I feel like Deborah was the trailblazer for us. Thanks to her, I knew what was coming. I understood it. We knew how to get the right caregivers to help us along the path.
She set a template for you going forward.
She really did.
Mm-hmm. How much did that help?
Hugely.
Mm-hmm.
It is so valuable to have a guide along the path, and we went through every step of it together. And so when it was my dad's turn, unfortunately, and mine, to deal with it in my own birth family, I really was comforted greatly by what I had learned.
You know, the word that kept coming back to me as I'm reading through your own, the experiences that you guys went through, was this word patience. I mean, which is something I profoundly lack in my own life. And I just don't know, you know, I kept on putting myself in your shoes, trying to imagine how I would summon up that level of patience to deal with what you had to deal with.
I think at some point you realize you don't have any choice if you want to have a meaningful relationship. And I'm like you are, Steve. I'm kind of a hurry-up, let's-do-it sort of person.
You strike me that way. Yeah.
And so, I mean, one of the things, you know, just first thing noticing is the speed at which you're walking and how I had to slow down. And then for listening, as my mom's language decreased, I was eager to hear her words, and I had to sit patiently to hear her words. It was worth it, but it did take a while to get to that point.
How hard was it for her, do you think, Ron, as you watched your wife sort of having to summon up that level of patience? Could you see her struggling with that as she went along?
No question. And in the early months and even in the early years, the struggle was harder. But as she gained acceptance and understanding of what was facing her, it became easier and easier. The other traits that were necessary were extreme flexibility. I think that one more than anything else, because you don't know from one moment to the next exactly what is going to happen. Every day is different. And that also gives the possibility for humor. And thank goodness, Deborah and I both share a penchant for humor. And so we were able to deal with this in a way that was sometimes playful. And that went even for being with her mother. I remember a time going to the nursing home and couldn't quite get Fran's attention. And I started clowning around. And suddenly she's looking me dead in the eye. And I bet we spent 10 minutes just staring into each other's eyes, something that could never have happened earlier in my relationship with Fran. And I remember it strongly to this day.
Yeah. Again, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Up to Date. We're visiting with Deborah Shouse, her partner Ron Zoglin, about Deborah's new book, Life in the Land of Dementia, Finding Hope in the Caregiver's Journey, Learning How to Care for a Mom Who Was Stricken with Alzheimer's, and the journey the two of them went on. Deborah and Ron will be speaking at the Plaza branch of the Kansas City, Missouri Public Library on Sunday, November 10th at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. More information about that event, kclibrary.org. So where did the two of you sort of get help and get support for what you were going through? Because, again, this notion of caregivers, and maybe some of them are listening right now, sort of being off on their own, you always get the sense it's such a lonely journey for them, dealing with all this new stuff that's coming right down the pike straight at them.
Yes. Several resources, Steve. For me, number one resource was writing. And that's how this book was born. You don't need to be a writer to use this resource, but I just started journaling my experiences with my mom and my dad. And as I started doing this, I realized it was interesting. And I also wanted to be able to capture these parts of my mom's history for myself and for our family. So the writing was very important. The Alzheimer's Association was an incredible resource.
They've been in here, you bet.
Yes. So incredible that, in fact, when we initially self-published the book, we used the book as a catalyst to raise money for Alzheimer's research and programs.
You know, the two of you had one advantage going for you in that you sort of were a little more flexible during the daytimes than maybe other folks are. Again, trying to imagine myself in this position, if you're working 40 hours a week and trying to deal with a mom or a dad who's struggling, that's a whole different ball of wax.
That is really complicated. And though we were working, we were self-employed,
yes.
So we had flexibility, which was really helpful. You're absolutely right. Friends were another resource. And that's, you know, part of the caregiver's dilemma. You feel isolated sometimes. But once I started reaching out to friends, even asking someone when my mom was in a home, would you like to come visit my mom with me? When I asked people, they wanted to. Mm-hmm. And to see them looking at my mom in a new way, listening to her fragments of stories, the stories I'd heard so often in a new way, was really helpful and really energizing for me.
If listeners want to chime in on our conversation here, 816-235-2888. Again, 816-235-2888. Or you can email us at updatedate@kcur.org. Let's start at the beginning of your mother's illness, Deborah. When did the signs of Alzheimer's first begin to appear, and what were they exactly?
Well, they were reported by my father, and at first I didn't understand that it was an illness. My father would call and say, your mother's not paying attention to me. I think she's mad at me. My mother would say, your father is so impatient. He just doesn't listen to me anymore. And so finally, they lived in Memphis at that time.
That's a lot of fun to hear from your parents, isn't it?
Yeah. I know. Yeah. And so my brother and I flew down there to visit them for Mother's Day and to kind of see for ourselves what was going on. And so what we decided, we were going to dress up as presents. And my dad knew we were coming. We were going to surprise my mom and dress up as presents and knock on the door. My mom would open the door and be really thrilled to see us. But we got a surprise because when we knocked on the door and my mom said, who is it? And we said, it's Debbie and Dan. She couldn't get the door unlocked. She couldn't get the door unlocked to the home where she had lived for 40-some years. So that was a real moment for both my brother and myself that this is something serious going on.
Did Alzheimer's come to mind right away?
Not really. But I guess I didn't want to think about it. But shortly after that, my parents, you know, my dad started taking my mom to doctors. And once they received the diagnosis, it was certainly easier for me to understand. It took my dad a while longer to, you know, come to some sort of peace with what was going on.
You know, there's a moment in this book. There are several moments. We're going to talk about some of them here. But there's a moment when your mom and dad go to work out. They're swimmers, and they go to wherever place they go to swim, and they each went to their separate changing rooms. And your dad comes out, and he's in his suit, and he's waiting for your mom to emerge from the dressing room. And the minutes go by, and the minutes go by, and she's not coming. And he begins to worry, as anybody would, what's happened to my wife? Did she fall and slip in the room, and what happened there? Take us through that. What happened next?
Yes. Well, finally, he had to go to the towel lady at the desk and the lifeguard to see if somebody would go in and check on my mom. And my mom had gotten lost in the dressing room. So this was the dressing room of a place she'd been hundreds of times before.
Sort of like the opening the door when you guys arrived to surprise her.
Like opening the door.
Yeah.
But she got confused. Once she got out, she got into the pool. She swam like always, the very same way. She and my dad walked out to the car holding hands, like always. And then when they got to the car, my dad's thinking, oh, let's go get pancakes and go to a movie.
She loved pancakes.
She loved pancakes. Mm-hmm. And when he tells her that, she can't hear him. And he raises his voice. And then he thinks to ask, where are your hearing aids? Mm-hmm. And she didn't have them in. He had to rush back to the pool, and she had left them on the counter at the sink inside the dressing room. So that was a little encapsulation of one of the many things my dad and our family was faced with. It's a natural part of that sort of forgetting things. My dad had an amazing sense of humor, and my mother learned to have a good sense of humor for being around him.
Didn't have any choice.
She didn't have any choice. And one time I asked her, what is this like for you? And she said, I have to laugh or I'll go crazy. And I thought that was such a beautiful piece of wisdom. Hmm. And I tried to use that piece of wisdom as often as I could.
Because she understood she had it, right?
Yes, she did understand she had it. And Steve, one of the gifts that Ron and I received is I was working on these stories while my mom was still alive, and I got to read my mom and dad several of the stories I was working on and got their approval and their blessing. It was the most nerve-wracking reading I've ever done. I was so nervous at what they would think. But my mom was really honored. I was writing about her. And, of course, my dad was too.
Ron, you're nodding your head. Were you there when those stories got read?
We read that story to them in their kitchen in Memphis. And I can remember it like today, thinking, is this going to be okay? And the relief when they nodded and smiled, yes, this is what it is like for us. And so that makes us feel, Steve, much more comfortable as we travel around the country and the world presenting these stories.
And you guys do travel the world.
We do.
Let it be known. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's amazing to find the similarity of the Alzheimer's predicament throughout the entire world. Deborah?
Yeah. The caregiver's journey, it doesn't matter what kind of facilities you have, if you're in a nursing home or at home, the caregiver's journey seems very similar. Yeah. And that's one of the things we've loved. Last year, we were lucky enough to be in Istanbul, and we gave a performance there.
Who brought you there? I mean,
we were traveling there, and when we travel, we volunteer. Mm-hmm. We find an Alzheimer's society, and we volunteer. Mm-hmm. So we volunteered, and at the end, a man came up. We had a translator, and he said he had been taking care of his wife for 10 years, and he said to me, "Your story is my story." Mm. That's sort of the meaning of life. That's why we love to share our experiences and our stories, to connect with other caregivers and share our message of looking for the blessings and the hope in the journey.
Yeah. Caregiving, Alzheimer's, that's our topic today. We're joined by Deborah Shouse and Ron Zoglin. Her new book, Love in the Land of Dementia, Finding Hope in the Caregiver's Journey. One other moment in this book that just really jumped off the page to me. Your father suffers a stroke and calls you from the hospital. Again, he's in Memphis. You're up here,
yes.
Right? Yeah. You make quick arrangements to go see him. And when you get there, you learn from your father that your mother, stricken with Alzheimer's, has driven him to the hospital after he suffered the stroke. She wasn't supposed to be driving. They drove through rush hour traffic, and I'm just wondering how that news hit you when you first heard it.
I just about fell apart.
Boy, I bet.
My dad is lying in the hospital with tubes in him. My mother,
which is shocking enough to see.
That was shocking enough. My mother is huddled on a chair there, and I got down there as quickly as I could, but it was several hours before I could arrive. And I asked, my dad was telling me the story, and when he said, "Your mother drove me to the hospital," I went, "Mom doesn't drive anymore." He said, "Well, he didn't want to spend money on an ambulance." So he talked Mom through it. Well, one of the main reasons Mom had been banned from driving is she couldn't distinguish the accelerator from the brake.
Just a minor detail. My 16-year-old's still going through that, by the way.
Yeah.
I love driving with him.
And so my dad had to, in the midst of his stroke, had to remind my mother which foot to press and when to go and when to stop. It was a miracle that they got there.
Yeah, I think that describes it pretty well.
It does. And it was actually a turning point for them deciding to move on up here to Kansas City to be closer to me.
Page 51 of this book, Deborah. My father is now living with a stranger, a woman he does not know or understand. He's afraid to go to sleep because she wanders around at night. She, who cannot remember what a can opener is or an avocado or a shoelace, has figured out how to unlock the apartment door, find the elevator, press the down button, get in, and wander out through the lobby. That makes no sense that she can sort of still manage something like that, but she was able to do it.
That's it. That's one of the surprises of Alzheimer's, is that
you can do and what you can't do.
That's right, and it changes. And often people wander, and evening dusk is a popular time to be doing that. And so this was one of the tips my Father God, that maybe he needed more help. He was determined to take care of her himself. But at some point, that became problematic for our whole family. And so he finally agreed to get some assistance.
Because one day, she has an accident on the floor. She urinates, and your father has a very difficult time sort of wrestling with that because she'd always been such a well-put-together kind of human being.
Yeah. That's right. He was a man who had never had any experience with that when we were growing up. He never changed a diaper or did anything. And so I think that was another moment that Dad finally was able to get. His determination was based on love, and he was finally able to see that his love could be expressed in a deeper way if he got some help with the physical care. I think that's...
So she moved.
She did move. She moved first to assisted living. Then she went to a memory care unit. In between, she was in a psych ward, which was kind of a nightmarish experience for us all, and then a couple memory care units.
And she was in a psych ward. Why?
They couldn't take care of her in the assisted living, and they suggested she needed a medication review. Looking back on that experience, I think we would have figured out something else. But there's something when you're caught up in the drama of this, of your parent being so unusual, hallucinogenic. My mom was at that point acting really inappropriately in many ways. We didn't know what to do.
You have a great line in this book, Deborah, which goes like this: I forget how many things you can forget.
Yes.
Things like what?
Well, I mean, rising up and sitting down, forgetting how to eat. Forgetting, of course.
Forgetting how to eat. Help me with that.
How to bring the hand to the mouth. Forgetting that.
Meaning your mom couldn't manage that for a while.
In the later stage, yes. And also, of course, forgetting people.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I grew to love about that, so I was constantly looking at what is good in the situation. And so what I learned to appreciate is my mom, at some point my mom didn't remember who I was, but she still smiled at me.
Hmm.
And I could tell she still loved me. So, you know, in the end, love was there all the way through. And when you mentioned patience in the beginning, part of our process was having the patience to look for it and appreciate it in the form it was offered.
You know, I wonder how many folks. I have a neighbor, a good friend of mine, lives near me, whose dad is in a similar predicament and doesn't remember who his son is, doesn't
Yes.
remember his grandkids. And I think I'm just guessing, a lot of folks, that's just got to be a defining moment where you decide either to bail out or sort of hang in there. I'm just wondering, again, I haven't fortunately been in that position yet, but someday maybe, and you just wonder how you'll handle something like that. How did you handle that?
Well, initially, I was hugely upset that my mother didn't recognize me. In fact, at one point, my dad had a plan. He was going to take my mom to see a Tom Cruise movie because they had met Tom Cruise earlier, and he thought she would recognize him. And I said to my dad, Mom doesn't recognize me. I'm going to be really upset if she recognizes Tom Cruise. And so,
Or maybe that's a healthy sign.
Or maybe that's a good sign, yes. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there definitely was this initial sorrow at the loss of my mother knowing my name. And that was part of the journey, the surrender, the spiritual part of the journey,
mm-hmm.
is to let go of that and to see what is still there. My mother's smile, her recognition that I am a person she knows. And so whatever is still left, I practiced focusing on that.
816-235-2888 is our phone number here, our email address, update@kcur.org. Let's go to Kelly from Overland Park. Kelly, you're on UpToDate. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to comment. You had mentioned about how do you get through some of these things? And my husband and I took care of my mom for about 9 years through her Alzheimer's. And we had to find the humor in situations. And sometimes it just slapped you in the face. It was so obvious, and it made it fun, and it really helped get through some of those rough times. My mom was never an easy person. And the Alzheimer's just intensified her difficult personality. And at one point, she had to be hospitalized in the geriatric psychiatric unit to stabilize some medications for behavior. And I came in one afternoon to see her, and I, okay, Mom, how's it going? And she was so proud. She says, well, I'm being interviewed for a series on the news. I said, oh, really? And I'm thinking, yeah, they're not letting anyone in here to talk. You know, what's going on? Talking to her more, we realized, we knew that her regular geriatric psychiatrist, who she hated, he was gone. And one of his partners was coming in to see her. And when I met the partner, I realized it was a sudden flash because he looked just like Wolf Blitzer. And my mom was convinced she was being interviewed by Wolf Blitzer and they were going to do a special on him. You know, there are things that make you, if you think about it too hard, you'd cry. But on the surface, it was so funny. And it helped bridge some of that pain.
That's so well said. If I can interject here, one of the first performances we ever did was for a group of professional caregivers. And not realizing at that time that that there was so much humor, often relief laughter, came out throughout the entire story that we told, and it helped us realize how important that humor is.
Hmm. Absolutely. Thank you very much, and I think your topic today is very good for so many people because it's a new journey every day for people who haven't been through it before.
Kelly, I appreciate that. Thank you. Yeah. Ron, when you talk about performance that you and Deborah engage in, what are you talking about?
What we do is actually dramatize many of the scenes that you've described from the book today. And when we do our performance, we will be doing a performance on the 10th at the Plaza Library, in which we will dramatize three different chapters in the book. And I generally play the roles of all the characters in the story, and Deborah generally plays herself.
Ron's more of a character than I am.
And it hopefully brings people to a place of feeling comfort and connectedness and a recognition that they are not the Lone Ranger.
Yeah.
And that so many of us have faced this.
You know, Deborah, so many folks react to Alzheimer's harshly.
Yes.
You know, lose patience, don't like what they see. They're uncomfortable around folks who have it. You know, some folks say they'd rather be dead than suffer from it or watch a loved one suffer from something like this. How would you react to that? What do you say to that?
Well, I've had the gift of seeing that there's more to it than meets the eye. There's a natural fear of losing our mind. And in fact, my mother had said to me, I want you to kill me if I ever lose my mind. But there's a lot left as the mind goes. And so there's a lot, as Kelly just mentioned, of humor. There's a lot of connection possible. I felt like in many ways my connection with my mom deepened during her Alzheimer's, because it was on a more emotional and spiritual level where earlier it had been on a more intellectual level.
Yeah.
So I think there's so many gifts to be found in the journey.
Deborah Shouse's new book is Love in the Land of Dementia, Finding Hope in the Caregiver's Journey. Again, she and Ron Zoglin appearing Sunday, November 10th at the Kansas City Public Library on the Plaza. More information about that event, kclibrary.org. What a pleasure to have you both. Thanks for coming in. Thanks for sharing your story.
Thank you so much,
Steve.